Hello everybody and welcome to The Integrated Home, the podcast that's produced by the home integration community for the home integration community. My name is Jeff Hayward and we're here at the Cedia Tech and Business Summit in Bristol in front of a live audience with renowned industry guru, Steve Moore, to look at a new smart home assurance scheme from Cedia. Welcome to The Integrated Home. So Steve, first of all, can you describe who you are and your role with Cedia on this project?
Thank you, Jeff. Hello, thanks for coming everybody. I'm a failed architect. I set up a business called Cornflake in 1985 with a partner, Chris. I left that in 93, set up a business called SMC, which is now about 80, 85 people doing work, mostly in the UK, but elsewhere around the world, and along with Kevin Andrews and a few other people, we set up Cedia in the UK, I'm going to say in 93, 94, and Cedia's obviously grown substantially both here and overseas, and it was really started, as most of you will know, in North America to help dealer installers like yourselves, I'm guessing most of you are dealer installers, to get the right level of respect and support and consideration from manufacturers and to present a unified story to the marketplace, to designers and architects and so on. That's me. I live in central London. I've got a load of kids. I'm a cheerful QPR fan, which is not a very populous part of the Venn diagram. And Jeff and I have known each other for a while.
Indeed we have. And you're here today to talk about Cedia Smart Home Assurance. So what is that and what's your role on this project?
I believe that Cedia is the place where experts congregate, experts in the smart home space or in home technology, the use of technology by people in spaces, normally in homes, but in large boats and in hotels and other environments. And Cedia as a whole and the members don't really get the respect and brand recognition that they deserve. Moreover, and I'm working with people building thousands and thousands of homes across the UK and elsewhere in the build-to-rent market and other spaces are struggling implementing technology in their buildings, whatever it is, for management of energy, for entertainment, for access control, for security, for networking, etc. And it seems like there's a role for Cedia professionals to support those people. Cedia did some research with home buyers or people looking to move home to rent or buy a new home last year, and around 70% of those customers said they'd struggle with technology in the home, they're looking at installing new technology in the home, and about 50%, I think 49% of the people that we surveyed said that they would pay more if they knew that technology would work reliably in their new home. And if you look at Rightmove or Zoopla, you'll see that broadband availability, broadband speed is one of the things that they track and present to people investigating buying a new property. So, you know, certainly post COVID, there's more of us working from home, learning from home, there's more people living independently in later life at home, and technology has a big part to play in that, and it's not universally well implemented and supported.
So Cedia Smart Home Assurance is aimed at property developers for the benefit of their home buyers, and what it, well, give
let,
me a one
let,
line.
Let me explain what it is.
Go
so
on.
If you're a builder designing a small estate, a large tower block, two or three homes, and you want to make sure that the wiring and the wireless environment in the building that you're putting together is going to work for whatever goes on behind the door. Someone's adding a smart TV, maybe they're adding a smart doorbell at the door. Cedia allow you to send your drawings to a portal. Cedia Smart Home Assessors, I'll talk about that, can check that they're compliant, that it will work, and you can imagine simple things that would help, having power where you might put a router, having a wireless signal where you might put a wireless device or the ability to get a wireless signal to that location. And those drawings can get assessed, they can get commented upon if they need to be. The services consultant or the contractor can implement the changes, they get a stamp of approval, and if required, they can get validated on site so the builder can present that development as smart home ready. And then there's a QR code placed at the hub in those locations in the smaller apartment. That might just be where the router goes, you know, where the boiler or heat exchanger goes in larger apartments, or a home, standalone home might be where you might put a rack. And those people could reach out to CEDIA if they need some support, which might be finding a local member. The builders pay a small amount to join the scheme, you know, low hundreds of pounds, and they pay £25 a plot typically for those plots to get assessed. And we're in the process of training CEDIA dealer installers to become smart home assessors, and we're encouraging builders to reach out to us for that service. Does that make sense? Do people understand it? This is hopefully going to generate work for CEDIA installers, but we're trying to elevate the CEDIA brand, make sure people look to us, whether they're trying to spend, you know, £5,000, £50,000, or £500,000, I'd like them to look towards CEDIA.
Do you think there's an appetite from property developers for something like this? I mean, aren't there schemes or regulations already in place that might cover this sort of smart connectivity?
It's a good question. So there are a range of schemes really based around safety and buildings regulation compliance for electrical and mechanical work in homes. There's a little bit around the provision of broadband to a home, and there's a number of regulations aimed at ensuring homes are built in an energy efficient way and could be managed in an efficient way so far as energy is concerned. There's an organisation called WiredScore that helps particularly the developers of large commercial buildings ensure that the provision for what you and I would call broadband, but internet connectivity, is robust, has the right degree of redundancy for the likely usage of the building, but it typically doesn't cover anything other than the incoming service, you know, and they'll suggest two fibre providers for a smaller office building, and they'll talk about the vertical infrastructure, and they'll make sure that there's power and space at each location horizontally where you might put any active equipment. But it doesn't cover, and they do deal with residential buildings, it doesn't cover anything behind the door. So you'll have seen, particularly in Northern Europe, the UK particularly recently, a change from traditional tenure. It used to be that most buildings were built for sale. There's what's called Section 106 provision. Developers have to allow a certain amount of affordable housing as part of the planning consent when they're building a market development. But there's also, these days, three other large categories of building. There's student accommodation. Anyone got kids at university? They live in these kind of travelodge style ghettos of kind of mid-rise buildings, communal kitchen, etc. There's quite a lot of later living development, both lower and higher end. There's also a huge amount of build-to-rent accommodation. It's very difficult post-Thatcher for kids to be able to afford to buy a home. You know, that's why you can't get your kids out of your house in some cases. And so there's a lot of rental accommodation. You've probably seen that. If any of you live in cities, you'll have seen that trend. In those cases, you've got someone that owns the building who may or may not be the someone that manages the building. They may be including energy or connectivity or something in the rent. So in the student accommodation example, they might have sensors, wireless typically, on the windows, so that if the windows open and it's cold outside, it turns the heating off, so you're not heating up the world. Yeah, you've seen that. I'm sure you do something similar for the clients that you work with. That's there because there's an energy saving for the developer who's got to hit ESG targets and financial targets. But if someone's moving into a build-to-rent property and they just want to install a smart TV, the guy or girl on the concierge desk who's dwarfed by a stack of Amazon parcels doesn't want to be wasting their time trying to set up their Wi-Fi for the smart TV. So there's an operational benefit for those companies, an OPEX saving, if the technology works. And there's companies in the CEDIA market who are installing that technology, installing smart thermostats, etc., etc.
So I'm just trying to get my head around the segments of the market that are quite different to what a CEDIA member might typically be involved with. Not just high net worth developers, but you're talking about student accommodation. Presumably this is appropriate for mid-market developers too.
It is. So we're working. So at the moment we've got a pilot scheme. So CEDIA are running this in the UK at the moment. We've got a pilot scheme. We're working on one end of the scale with a company called Greystar, which is a large American-owned company, probably the world's largest private landlord, about 40,000, 50,000 dwellings in Europe. And we're working on a scheme in West London where they've got nearly 400 homes split across two or three blocks. And we're working with a private developer in East Anglia doing 10 homes here, 20 homes there, that would be a regular CDA opportunity, and two or three examples in between.
Okay, let me just get my head around again the benefits for the developer of this. What are they really going to get out of it? A CDA assured home, is that going to mean something to their customers, do you think?
We'd hope ultimately, if they can market those homes as smart home assured, and the homeowners, I'll give you an example in a minute, can speak to CDA and ultimately to a CDA dealer installer, you might go and support and charge your regular rates. That takes a burden from the builder. They see that as beneficial. Quite honestly, and this is the failure of companies like mine who've been busy talking to builders for 30 or 40 years, they're confused. There's too many people talking to them. They don't quite know what the rules are. There's no definition out there. Everyone's calling for it. We did some work with Barratt, who I'm not sure if they're the UK's largest home builder, a few years ago, but some of their salespeople were telling stories of kids doing homework in the marketing suite, you know, which is kind of two glorified porta cabins stuck together with a pot plant and a sofa, because they have broadband in the marketing suite. That's why the kids were there, because BT couldn't get broadband to the homes. And when they could, the wireless connectivity was pretty crappy, and Mr. and Mrs. Steak and Kidney Pie in the home couldn't make it work. And that isn't Barratt's job, right? They want to build homes, sell homes, and go build some more homes. So I believe there is a demand there. The builders we've spoken to are grateful for it, because in the build-to-rent sector, it's supporting their business case. Mm-hmm. And in the private sector, we suspect it's enabling them to spend slightly less on the right infrastructure rather than slightly more on the wrong infrastructure.
And there are different levels of this assurance, right? It's not all just you've got to do it this way. There's options within it, is that right?
Yeah, there is. And we'll talk about something else that might be more interesting generally, but there's grade one, grade two, and bespoke. Grade one includes very little cabling. Trying to get a builder, you imagine post-Ukraine, their costs have gone up a lot, steel costs have risen, etc., without even mentioning the Trump word, range of cost uncertainty exists. If they spend 25 quid on running another cable, they're having conniptions, really. So grade one is basic connectivity with support, wired networking to a main entertainment position, would support mesh networking to other locations in the home, would support sub 1 gig, so Z-Wave, Zigbee wavelengths, 868s, you know, to smart thermostats, window sensors, door sensors, would support wireless for a smart doorbell, nothing fancy. Grade two supports some wiring for surround sound, you know, what we would think of as a kind of entry-level home cinema, I suppose, multi-room audio in principal rooms, and then bespoke allows for levels of lighting control, security provision that's more extensive. All of the levels include for connectivity to MVHR or heat exchanger or boiler, EV charger, PV if it exists. And actually the standards bodies we've spoken to are grateful for that, because no one's talking about the connectivity needed in a, you know, energy transition world. So we've got those three, very basic, slightly less basic, a little bit fancier if you want. And the other thing we're constructing, and I've been working with a couple of higher end CDA dealers that you'll know, we're coming up with a CDA survey form for existing or new build homes describing the provision that captures data. So I'm not sure if anybody's ever been asked to do a survey of a property for a client considering buying that property, or they've looked at a takeover job where another CDA dealer or someone pretending to do a decent job perhaps hasn't done such a decent job, and you've got to define what works and what doesn't work and what's dangerous and what's in warranty and what needs to be spent and what's okay. So we're working on a very comprehensive form for that I think all CDA members would find useful here and overseas, just to capture what technology provision is in the home. So that's what we're doing, grade one, grade two, bespoke, and then we have this custom survey form.
So let's say that I'm a smart home assessor. If I've got developers in my local area or people I've already got existing relationships with, I basically ring them up and say, look, I've got a new scheme I need to talk to you about, and this is something that deserves some of your time, and it will only cost you a little bit of money, and there's loads of benefits. That sort of
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think actually right now, and certainly for the next 12 months, certainly the balance of 2025, if you're looking at talking to a builder in your area and you want a hand having that conversation, if you speak to Matt Nimmons or Steve or someone at the CDIA office, they'd love to help you have that conversation and say, look, and we've got very good documentation for this, which we can share. And I'm sure if you email Steve at CDIA, we'll share the documentation with you on this. There's a little top secret portion of the website that you can be granted access to that enables you to download it. And if you're talking to a builder, you can say, actually, there's very simple rules for this, like the highway code for getting it right, which we can share with you as part of our membership of CDIA. And if you like, we'll come and talk to you about it. We'll help you make sure your spend makes a difference, and we can support you through the process.
Welcome to DBM, the premium AV distributor delivering unparalleled video and audio solutions for your clients. Discover what Bespoke Home Cinemas said after recently partnering with us on a groundbreaking project.
Bespoke Home Cinema's state-of-the-art demonstration space features products from the DBM portfolio, including Meridian and Trinov. Meridian has always been a brand we've followed and admired. We were provided with several in-depth demonstrations at their UK showroom and a factory tour, which turned our heads. The dedicated team looked after us from early design discussions to selecting the right products to demonstrate, making us feel that we were in good hands. It was without question that Meridian was going to be our top choice for our showroom.
Simplify your projects and elevate your AV integration with DBM today. From premium solutions to stress-free planning, we're here to redefine your audiovisual experience.
So what sort of training will you need to become a smart home assessor?
We're running a course, a smart home assessment course, which is introducing people to this scheme for CDIA members. And we'll run a refresher course showing them how the portal and the documentation upload and assessment and the tracking of that works. And we have a CDIA certified technician qualification, which includes various categories of learning around the wiring and infrastructure that CDIA members can put in. That comes with an exam, and we're hoping people have done that exam. They've got their CCS card, or I think it's called an ECS card, for working on building sites. So those are our hurdles that you're a proper grown-up. Maybe some of you are CIT. We'd like you to have those two qualifications under your belt. Then you can come to the Smart Home Assessor course. We'll give you a badge, and then you're good to go.
And then actually doing an assessment. I mean, is that going to take days and days of time? What's your assessment of the time resources that people will need to put to it?
The process is initially educational. So we'll speak to the builder and their MEP consultant, their services consultant, will provide them with the documentation. We would hope they would upload their drawings, having taken that into account. They'll be righter rather than wronger. Once those drawings are in the portal, you can look at the drawings for each apartment type. So on the development we're discussing with 400 apartments, I think there's only 13 apartment types. You'll be familiar with that kind of situation. Houses on a, you know, new estate are handed, they're schematically the same, they just look slightly different. You'd assess whether they meet the criteria. You might comment back on them. My suspicion is that's going to take under 5 minutes for each plot that you look at on the scheme. Initially we're managing this in-house, and they get, the marking, if you like, gets presented back to the builder. Any remedial work is carried out, you reassess the fails, they get approved, the builder gets on with it. If they need a CDIA assessor on site, you do that at a day rate, and the contractor is required, so let's take networking as an example, to upload the test certification. So if your engineer is going with a Fluke tester that spits out the certification results, that gets uploaded to the portal so that the builder has comfort on three things. What they designed is going to work, how that's been drawn and therefore procured is compliant with the design, and then what they paid for once it was built was what they expected. So we're really giving the builder the assurance that what they built is going to do what they hoped.
A lot of it's about driving up professionalism.
Yeah, actually, it's easy to sound disappointed about services consultants, but they're covering a whole load of ground. There's new regulations electrically, mechanically, in public health sphere all the time. This is a small subset of what they do. On all of the bigger projects that we work on, put your hands up if you agree you're charging for design, right? Because you're the expert in what we do. they're not the expert in what we do. So I think it's going to help them do an okay job reliably well.
So actually, this is something you should pitch to those M&E consultants who might be working for the builder as well, to save them time and get them out of a bit of a hole where they don't know too much about?
Yeah, it's just the rules. You know, you've seen specifications come in from services consultants where they've just cut and pasted manufacturer's specs. I'm sure you've seen that for dimming or security or something like that. We're giving them something that they can cut and paste and put in there, or we're giving them the rules for their team to get it right. It's just a, you know, educational aid, I suppose.
And Cedia is going to be backing all of this scheme?
So Cedia in the UK at the moment, and we'll roll this out, are putting some horsepower behind it. So we've been reaching out to House Builders Federation, other organisations in this space, and talking to individual house builders. And the intention is we have a good cadre of smart home assessors nationwide, so that we can point someone, whether you're in Truro or Thurso, we can point someone at that scheme and they can deal with the builder. We'd want that to be a local Cedia dealer that has some opportunity. Maybe a couple of people buying a home in that estate might become customers of yours and can support that builder longer term.
And you said that you've spoken to a couple of developers, you've got projects ongoing with a couple of developers. Presumably you've already been talking to trade bodies as well. What's the response been like? How would you describe it?
We've had enthusiastic response from the Electrical Contractors Association, from the House Builders Federation and others, because they've seen a dearth of canonical information in this space. Some of those organisations aren't short of things to do, that they don't always have a complete view of the trade. We're also speaking to NIC, EIC. So we're speaking to those sort of bodies who have a role in compliance. So you'll know if you want to get buildings control consent on a property, those people need to sign it off. Someone in that world needs to sign it off, seeing if they're interested in getting involved as well.
What happens if you've assessed the site, said there's going to be no problems with it, it's a CDO assured site? Are you then responsible for resolving any issues down the line? Where does the line get drawn?
There's two potential challenges. If we've misassessed a drawing and it's been built to what we said was a good standard, then Cedia will support the builder in carrying out remedial work to make that work. That might be as simple as providing a wireless bridge or a bit of twisted pair or paying for a little bit of labour. We believe what's certainly been the driver for adoption from house builders is that the electrical contractor hasn't done what's been drawn. It's either not been certified, a certificate for a different property has been applied to that plot. I mean, have anyone been to a site where RJ45 socket is not terminated behind the faceplate? You know, or the cable's not terminated, lots of hands going up, cable's not terminated at the head end. But the builder paid, or the developer paid, for the electrical contractor to terminate that. You know, this isn't rocket science. They're just trying to get what they ordered. You know, if they wanted fries with that and they don't get any fries, they're trying to make sure they get the fries.
And will it have any clout, any legal clout, that if somebody refuses to do that work where they should do that work, they're going to be obliged to do it? What's the...
Building is mediated typically by JCT contracts. There's other structures, construction management, different forms of contract. But the building trade, you know, the building trade's kicking back on this, but the building trade typically includes a retention mechanism to make sure that people carry out any snagging or remedy any defects within a period. And if those defects are identified, then the contractor either fixes them or the money is retained and the builder or the developer pays for someone else to fill the gap to fix it.
So when does this scheme start? Has it started already?
So it's been soft launched to some builders. We've trained, I'm going to say, Steve Carter in the room is going to correct me, we've probably trained about a dozen assessors, something like that. We're going to be making a bit more noise about it coming into the summer and other tech summits, and we'd like to see greater adoption. I think if you think, you know, this isn't going to transform your business, but it might make the Cedia logo feel more relevant, I'd like it to be something that your relatives and other people in your day-to-day life start to see, and that's our mission. So we'd like people to get on board with it, and I believe some of these plots will end up being plots where your clients will buy a home and you can do some regular CDA work.
So one piece of advice for integrators in this room or listening to this podcast, what would it be from you?
I'd say engage with the existing CDA training on wiring infrastructure. Make sure your site teams are engaged with that. Basically level up on your accreditations. So if you're working on building sites, you need your ECS card. If you want to show that you're a grown-up CDA member, and CDA has some stratification of membership now, now's a good time to look at that, because we'll be publishing and elevating the list of smart home assessors to the builders that we speak to. And if you've ambitions in that world, that's a way to be seen.
Thanks, Steve, for sharing those insights with us today. And thanks to CDA for hosting us at the Tech and Business Summit here in Bristol. You can find out more about The Integrated Home on Instagram at Integrated Home Podcast and on LinkedIn at The Integrated Home Podcast. The Integrated Home is brought to you with the support of Distributed by Meridian. We support Together for Cinema, and we are a Wildwood Plus production.
The Integrated Home supports Together for Cinema. Together for Cinema is a community interest company that collaborates with the AV industry to design and install cinema rooms in children's hospices and other deserving locations across the UK. So far, thanks to the huge generosity of manufacturers, distributors and integrators freely giving of their time, products and expertise, we've created 46 dedicated cinemas, equivalent to an installation value of about £1.2 million. In these special places, families, staff and volunteers are now enjoying fantastic movie experiences together and helping to create very, very special memories. Help our industry continue to make a difference. Visit togetherforcinema.co.uk and find out how you can be involved to make short lives just that little bit better.